Well, good morning, Southbelt Church. I'm glad you've decided to join us for worship today. I appreciate you being here. As we begin this morning, I want to take some time to address something that's kind of been on my heart concerning the messages that I've been preaching on boundaries. Living by wise biblical boundaries is always prudent. Biblical boundaries apply to almost all of life's situations. This is true for the believer as well as the non-believer. But I have a concern in my heart that somebody may take away the idea or the notion that living according to wise biblical boundaries might lead you to a right relationship with God. And I need to tell you this morning that they don't. That is considered salvation by works. And wise biblical boundaries don't lead you to a saving relationship with God the Father. Wise biblical boundaries instead flow out of that personal relationship that you have with God through Christ Jesus. It is completely possible to do the right thing, but for the wrong reasons and with the wrong motivation. These are the things that internally give us a sense of discontent because of our own hypocrisy. We know it. We sense it, but we live our life pretending to be what we think the spiritual and religious people around us want us to be. And sometimes there's a big disconnect between the power and joy and enthusiasm that an authentic relationship with Christ offers and just pretending to be somebody that we really aren't. The heart is at the core of the matter. Solomon writes in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, "Above all else, guard your heart, because it is the wellspring of life." What Solomon is saying is that from a desert perspective, the wellspring of water is what gives life, and the heart is the wellspring of your life. If you want to live and have the abundant life that Jesus talks about, it comes from putting some boundaries up and living according to wise boundaries that would protect the heart. The heart is the motivational center of your daily living. If our motivatives are self-serving or self-preserving or self-promoting or self-posturing, then God is not honored, even if we are putting up a godly appearance. Jesus gives us an example of this in Matthew chapter 15. And I'm afraid this plays out in the lives of so many religious people in our life. And I pray that it doesn't play out in you, but I'm asking you today to do some self-examination and to see if maybe you're not stuck at a place of personal hypocrisy. In Matthew chapter 15, the Pharisees are engaging Jesus in some trick questions, which is what they always did. And the trick question of the day is something along this line. They ask Jesus, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of our elders by not washing their hands?" Now, all the way back in the book of Leviticus, the priests were required to keep clean hands. Clean hands represented for the priest a clean heart. And the clean heart and clean hands took the sacrifice to the altar and made those sacrifices on behalf of the people. But over the course of time, the Pharisees decided we need to pass a rule that makes everybody have clean hands all the time. And so they were asking Jesus, "How come your disciples break the tradition of our elders and they don't wash their hands?" And Jesus, who always had a knack for going right to the heart of the matter, flips the script and he says, "Well, why do you break the commands of God in order to keep your tradition of the elders?" And then he challenges them on this point. He says, "You know the scripture. The scripture says to honor your father and your mother." And this is the example that he gave. "You as a Pharisee should be honoring your father and your mother, but you don't. And the reason you don't is because you have adopted this holiness that is false. When your parents are old and they need your assistance, you don't take care of them. And the reason you don't take care of them is because at some point in your life you went to the temple and you said, 'All the possessions and all of the belongings I have belong to God.'" It was a custom called Korban. And basically, when a religious leader or a wealthy person in the community would go to the temple and say, all of my wealth belongs to God, then as your parents got old and they came to you and said, I need you to take us in. I need you to take care of us. I need you to look after us. They would say, I really can't spend any of the money that I've set aside for God on you, and so you're going to have to fend for yourself. The Pharisees wanted to know why the disciples broke their tradition. Jesus wanted to know why their traditions broke the laws of God. Further down in the passage in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus says, here's why you do this. Here's why you act this way. Here's why you use your traditions to break the law of God. Matthew chapter 15, verse 7 through 9, you hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. You're just paying lip service to God, he said. Your heart's not in it. You have not guarded your heart. You have not set up wise boundaries around your heart. Your worship is vain. And the rules that you follow are man-made, not God-ordained. My grandma Hazel used to say all the time when we were growing up, what's in the well comes up in the bucket. She was speaking of the heart. She was speaking of the heart issues. You can only pretend to do the right thing with the wrong motivation for so long. Because eventually, the real you is going to come out. Jesus reminded his followers that you can't pretend forever to be someone you're not, for out of the overflow of your heart, your mouth will eventually speak. Jesus said, what's in the well is going to eventually come up in the bucket. Right now, during this time of virus uncertainty, during this quarantine crisis, during the media fear and pandering, during the political vitriol, what is in your heart may be beginning to show. Some of you are not at ease right now. I am one of those who is not at ease. I will confess to you and admit that to you. This has stretched my faith. This has made me stop and ask, who am I trusting and where does my hope lie? Our hearts are not at rest, and some of us have our hearts on the edge of being exposed. The real us is about to emerge. If this continues much longer, if we stay in conflict with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, with wearing masks and not wearing masks, staying at home, not staying at home, going back to work and not going back to work. It has been said that character is formed in the discipline of day-to-day living. Character is revealed in times of crisis. One of the things you're going to hear Doug talk about during our announcement time at the end is the fact that we as a staff are asking all of our small groups to participate in a Right Now media study over the next 4 weeks entitled Overcoming Anxiety During COVID-19. The Gospel Coalition produced an article this week about the division that this is causing even among believers in the church. The bottom line of the article is because the believers have not guarded their hearts. We send out a weekly blast and emails every Thursday afternoon. Find it. The instructions for what's coming up this week for this Bible study are on there. This Bible study helps us look at setting up those boundaries, those guardrails, those parameters for protecting our heart during this time. I want to talk about three of those boundaries today. Talk about three of those wise boundaries that Jesus asked us to have in our life to keep the heart protected, not only in times of uncertainty, but all the time. To help us live what we say we believe. To help us avoid the internal struggles. To help us stay away from our own hypocrisies. A wise boundary begins with confession. You see, confession guards the heart from guilt. When you know you're not right with God, when you know you have unconfessed sin in your life, when you know that your actions don't measure up to the characteristic that Jesus would have and ask for your life, then you know that you are guilty. And when I am guilty, I'll fake it to convince you otherwise. And when you are guilty, you will fake it to convince me otherwise. We will pretend to have it all together. We will pretend to be more right with God than we are. We will ignore our own hypocrisy, but oftentimes we're very ready to call you out on yours. Right now, if you're guilty of fear, confess. Right now, if you are guilty of anger, confess. Right now, if you are guilty of giving more attention to your favorite politician than to Jesus Christ, confess. Right now, if you are guilty of being frustrated with believers who are not bowing down to your favorite politician, confess. We are assured in the Scripture that if we confess our sin, that He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and to purify us from all unrighteousness that's associated with that. The only person in this time who has their act together in the midst of this crisis is Jesus Christ. He's the only one. The songwriter teaches us that He should be our anchor because that anchor holds and we can grip the solid rock. Each of us should be using our energy and our efforts and our resources and our time and our intellect and our skill in meeting Him and asking Him to clean out our hearts, confessing where we have fallen short. Confessing my guilt to God frees me from the penalty of sin. And confessing to God not only frees me from the penalty of sin, but it cleanses me from the unrighteousness that is associated with that sin. And when you are free from that, then you are free indeed. But I want you to understand that confession frees you from the penalty when you take it to God. But there's another step in confession that the Scripture talks about. And while confessing my sin frees me from the penalty of that sin, I'm also encouraged in James chapter 5 to confess my sin to a valued and trusted friend. I can't navigate this on my own, and while my relationship with Jesus Christ is ridiculously important, the Scripture tells us that I need to depend on other brothers and sisters in Christ. I need to depend on other people to help me. It is iron sharpening iron. James chapter 5 verse 16 says, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other." The "each other" phrase literally means someone to walk alongside you so that you may be healed, the Scripture says. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power to produce wonderful results. What are the wonderful results? Freedom from that sin. Confessing my sin guilt to God frees me from the penalty, but confessing my sin to a valued friend and a trusted brother or sister in Christ frees me from the power that that sin has over me, because it sets up a framework of accountability. If you don't have a relationship with somebody that's that deep, I'm asking you, call me. If you don't feel comfortable talking to me, call Sheila and ask her if one of the other staff members can meet with you. The office is open every day from 9 to 2. We're taking appointments to visit with people. We are here. I have godly friends. I know that there are godly, wise people in this church who will sit down with you and who will help you be accountable for the guilt that you carry and the confessions that you need to make. Be quick to confess. Confession guards your heart from guilt. To keep your heart protected, a wise boundary that can be put in place is the boundary of submission. You see, submission guards your heart from pride. Submission guards your heart from pride. Sometimes it's hard to admit when you're wrong. And sometimes, probably more times than we are comfortable with, we will admit that we are wrong and then we'll say, "But." I was wrong, but the situation. I was wrong, but my kid's teacher. I was wrong, but my church. I was wrong, but my boss. I was wrong, but my wife. I was wrong, but my friend. If I say that I am wrong and I follow that with a but, then I am saying, I'm not under submission, I'm not owning this, I'm simply posturing, I'm making excuses, I'm passing the blame. It's somebody else's fault, not mine. It's pride, and pride goes before the fall, according to Proverbs 16. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. If you can't acknowledge and admit that you are wrong, then there is a problem. One of the things that comes from being locked down with your family is that they begin to see the angst and the anxiety that begins to roil up inside of you. I am very blessed and very fortunate to have people in my life living in my own home that will call me to task, that will call out my lack of submission, that will point to the fact that, Kevin, are you trusting Christ? Are you trusting yourself? Where have you not submitted your life? Submission. Jesus asked for it in Matthew chapter 11. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus says, take. That means you have to be active in picking up your part of the responsibility. Jesus says, take my yoke. A yoke is an instrument of training. A yoke is an instrument of submission. And a yoke says that I will strap myself to somebody bigger and stronger and wiser, and I will learn from them. The word there is an active tense word. It is something that you will do. It is something that you will engage in. We have a responsibility to be submissive. We have a responsibility to keep our pride in check. And submission is a wonderful guardrail. It is a wonderful boundary. Be quick to submit, because submission guards our heart against pride. And third, to keep the heart protected, a wise boundary is forgiveness. Forgiveness guards our heart against bitterness. Bitterness. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 12 says, work at living in peace with everyone. The mask wearer and the non-mask wearer. The one who wants to stay home and the one who wants to go back to work. The one who thinks this is a conspiracy and the one who genuinely is in fear. Work at living in peace with everyone, and work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Look after each other. Look after each other, so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Let me give you a great definition of bitterness. Bitterness is anger that is on simmer. It's just there below the surface, ready to explode at a moment's notice. It is the aggravation you feel when you don't find toilet paper at the grocery store. It is the aggravation when there's no meat or no yeast. It is the aggravation when someone is hoarding. And it is on simmer, ready to erupt. It is the agitation you feel due to the disruption of life. And it is the poisonous root of bitterness. It is the frustration you feel with people who are approaching the virus differently than you are. And it is the poisonous root of bitterness. It is the irritation you feel because life is on hold. And it is the poisonous root of bitterness. Right now, everybody around you is feeling exactly the same thing. The greatest thing you can do is offer forgiveness. when they cut you off in the drive-through line at Chick-fil-A, when they criticize you for how you're handling the situation, cut each other some slack. Be kind. In times like these, the best and worst of humanity come out. Make sure the best comes out of you. When someone's being a jerk, oftentimes they're just being themselves. The scripture says that those who are not in Christ are captivated. They're held in chains to that way of living. They don't know that there's freedom in forgiveness. They don't know that there's freedom in submission. They don't know that there is freedom in confession. They don't know there is freedom in the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. You see, what is in their well is coming up in their bucket. Be quick to forgive. Forgiveness guards your heart against bitterness. You are in Christ. And greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Now is the time for the church of Jesus to shine bright. Now is not the time for the church of Jesus Christ to find fault with our brothers and sisters. It is certainly not a time for us to stand in the way of someone else's eternity by thinking that our position is greater than theirs. Confess, submit, forgive. Be the Jesus the world needs to see. Your character is not formed in times of crisis. Your character emerges. But your character can be worked on in times of crisis. So guard your heart. Guard your heart. It is the wellspring. And it brings life not only to you, but to those you come in contact with. I am praying for you. I hope you're praying for me. Times are hard, but God is good. And He is good all of the time. Would you join me in prayer this morning? Father God, we thank You that You are good in every circumstance and every situation of life. We thank You that You are not surprised by this virus. We thank You that You are not surprised by the economy. We thank You that You are not surprised by how each of us as individuals have reacted to this. We thank You that You love us all just the same. We thank You that when we confess, You forgive. We thank You that when we submit, You train and You teach. We thank You that when we forgive, You resolve and dilute bitterness that is in our heart. May we apply these wise boundaries and depend on You for their effective fruition in our life. Be glorified in how we act and react in the days and weeks that are before us. We pray and trust in Jesus' great name.